Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is Nazim Rashid. Yes, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yeah, we're going to have a fantastic show today in our installment of Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages, Part 24. Isn't that something? Part 24. So I would strongly suggest to all the wonderful listeners out there, go back into the archives and get them all. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred. Again, /emailalfred. And scroll down till you see the shows. Again, Improving, Repairing for Marriages, and get them all. Get them all in your collection. It's important to share this information so we can have fresh tools for our transformation from our old way of thinking, which is usually ego-centered, ego-based, to our new way of thinking, all right, where we're allowing good and new information, healthy information to come in that will help you have the best committed relationships possible, okay? That's what we need to do, all right? For all you who have not heard the programs before, you might be first-time listeners. I'm Nazim Rashid, and I have over 20 years in the mental health and counseling fields, drug counseling fields. I went through 12 steps. I went through that. I went through addiction, and I went through my transformation of getting cleaned up, turning my life over to God, becoming a Muslim, and committing my life to a life of service, to a life of service. So before my transition, I was just a jazz musician, R&B musician, and didn't think about doing anything else. But afterwards, I discovered that there's something else out here for me to do. My passion now is, besides music, is to give back so others can have a way out of what they think is no way, to live a fulfilling life of promise and purpose. Everybody has a purpose to be here. Everybody has a passion inside. If you don't know your passion, you see, just dig inside and keep listening to this show. And God willing, you'll get that. Okay? Very important to understand that. All right? Okay. Now, like I've always told my listeners, because everybody likes to call in and listen, more so than listening online, just hit the number one on your telephone if you want to ask a question or be a part of this timely discussion. All right? So last week, we talked about identifying and managing emotions. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm doing, I'm reading and expounding from my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. All right? I want everybody to get this book. This book. You can go on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, my website, www.cloudsofabundance.com, cloudsofabundance.com. My email, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Very important. All right, so last week we were talking about, another thing. We always look at our childhood experiences because, as you know, as you should know, what you bring into a marriage stems from what you've learned and experienced before. So we always look at what happened in the home when we were young. All those things are our building blocks for us being married. How we're choosing, how we're maintaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we always go back and kind of see how things were. All right, very important to understand that, all right? Yeah, for sure. So we did that last. We talked about, childhood development, what children see in their parents and what they look at as being normal. Like, for instance, if you grew up seeing your father beat your mother up, you see? Of course, your inner child did not like that. You were disturbed by that. However, at a certain level, you accepted that as being normal. So when you grew up, you accept violence in relationships, violence in marriage, to be normal. So you grew up to be a brute, and you didn't know why, you see? So this is why we have to look at what we experienced, what we witnessed ourselves in childhood. All those things affect our marital life. Yeah, they all do. That's why it's so important to go back and just look at those things, you know? Yeah, look at those things. And when you do, you find that man, you know, I need to let go of some things for sure. Because see, now those things did not work for me. And what doesn't work for you, what do? You let it go. Let it go. I don't care what your mama said, what your father said, what the partners on the street said. If it does not work for your new life, let it go. Let it go. You might hold on to it, held on to it because you're familiar with it. Let it go. Let it go. All right? Now, we talked about, breathing. I was looking at my chapters here, breathing, and how, you know, addressing emotions and so feelings, a lot of us don't take the time out to just meditate and breathe. Deep breathe. Yeah. You can clear the slate. And, you know, every morning I do it after my slot, after my prayer. Got to remember I'm talking to a universal audience here. Meditation, gratitude statements, and I do a lot of deep breathing. That cleans the slate for a new day. And all day you can do it, you know. We get piles and piles of stress on us. We wonder why we have a confused life. You know, the deep breathing can clean the slate. So I talked about diaphragmatic breathing before, you know. And so it's very important to do that so that you actually can take a lot of air in, not just little puffs, a lot of air in, and then let it out slowly. Yes. And when you feel the anger starting to come up, you know, your wife, your husband is starting to say something that you detect is really bothering you, excuse yourself and do some deep breathing and clear the head. Then you can come back into the conversation and rationally, respond to what she or he is saying to you instead of, you know, saying or experiencing your buttons being pushed and you do something that you regret later on. You know, that's very important to understand that. Okay. We don't ever want to do that. You know, if you hurt your wife, hurt your husband, it's awful. It's really awful. You feel bad. And, you know, even though, you know, yeah, you could say to yourself, well, they shouldn't have done what they did, but you shouldn't have done what you did either. There's no excuse for harming your mate. None whatsoever. Walk away, get away, run away. You know, and that's why I talked about earlier, the antecedent, you know, to the behavior. Remember the ABCs I talked about maybe 2 weeks ago? The antecedent, behavior, and consequences. Remember that? Yeah. Recognize what the antecedents are. And when you first get that first sign, it might be a tingling hair, it might be fist, might be your foot tapping, might be a little wrinkle in your brow, might be, you know, your heart rate starting to increase. Those are antecedents, okay? And when you recognize those, at that point, do something. Don't wait until you're already, you know, angry, you know. Do it beforehand. Excuse yourself. Say, hey, whoa, excuse me, sis. Excuse me, honey. Dear, hey, I got to go. Wait. I know you're saying something. I can't hear you right now. I can't hear you. I got to go. Get away before you do something that you know is not intelligent. I'll say it like that, okay? That's very important, all right? So that's why we have to always take some time out. Take some time out, you know? Yeah. And I talked about progressive muscle relaxation. Remember that one? Where you can tense up your muscles one at a time and release them. And when you release them, you experience stress leaving you. And this is what we want to experience, stress leaving us. Yes. Another way you can let things go. Okay? Yeah. Very, very important to understand that. So, go back, you know. I kind of want to go over those things now, you know. But I did that on previous installments. So I want us to go back and hear those shows there. Because if we can just learn to relax more, learn to clear the slate more, if we can learn to do that more, we can have much, much better relationships. Yeah. We can learn to listen more. Listen more. Huh? Yeah, and when we talk from the other person's frame of reference, not ours. Yeah, make your conversations centered around the other person's feelings and concerns and not your own. Yeah, do that. Do that. You know, and really let the other person know, hey, I got you. I'm listening. You know, I'm tuning in to you. Don't interject, you know, how you think it should go or what they should do. Don't try and tell them what to do. Micromanage the conversation. Don't do that. Don't hijack the conversation. Listen to what they have to say. And brothers, you know, a lot of y'all, you know, got it worse than the sisters. We got to learn to listen. It's not about what we want. It's about making them happy, make them feel secure and okay with us. And you do that by listening. Yeah, listen. You might have something else to do. The game might be on. You know, take time out. This is an investment in your marriage here. This will pay extreme dividends down the way, let me tell you. When you talk to those pioneers who've been married 40, 50, 60 years, the brothers, they all say the same thing. You say, if my wife got something to say, I'm quiet. Let her talk. Hey, let her talk. Make sure she feels okay in the conversation. All right? You know, now, hey, if they have been married, you know, over 5 or 6 decades, you see, I think they have something to say. They have a valid point. So you can't say, well, that's the old school. Look, it worked for them. It can work for you, too. You know, they can feel good. Listen to them. Listen to them. Empathize. Paraphrase back what they're saying so they know that you understand their situation. You see? Yeah. You know? So that's very important to understand, to get. We can do this. We can do this. You see? So I'm just encouraging more of us to just chill out. You know? I know a lot of us had such dysfunctional past that we want to repeat what our father did or what our mother did, you know, or they might abandon you. All kind of horrible things. You cannot repeat behaviors that are unhealthy and dysfunctional. So we had to learn what is healthy, what is functional. That's why I'm telling you, criteria is life promoting, health producing. Just look at what you would like to receive. You know? Yeah. You give that. Yeah, for sure. Now, when I wrote the book, hey, I came from a dysfunctional family also. But I interviewed people. I interviewed the pioneers. I had no model of what a healthy mother was, a healthy father was, a healthy marriage. I had none of that. I do have some professional counseling background. However, I didn't have the models in front of me. So what did I do? I looked at, what would I like a mother to be? What would I like a father to be? What would I like to see in marriage and as a child to see, you know, in my mother and father together? You know, then I was attracted to pioneers in our community that actually had those traits. Loving. So here you go. So you start putting together in your mindset, what is a healthy mother? What is a healthy father? What is a healthy marriage? And you look at that. Oh, because you look at what it produces. That's right. And when I saw what these pioneers produce, okay, that I put it together like that, and that became the model of my book. Yeah, exactly. So we got to have some examples out here, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm married now. Believe me, every day I'm thinking consciously about these things. I'm living a married life consciously and make sure I'm doing all I can to make sure my wife is okay, listening and giving her time, giving her attention. You know? Yes. So we can do this. We claim the best, and we can have that. We can stop all these marriages, all these divorces, all these divorces happening all the time. We can stop that. That's so important to understand, okay? All right, very important, okay? Now, like I've said on some earlier programs, after we get through the identifying and managing emotions chapter, okay, we learn how to go back in time and actually change some things we had in the past, you know, change some things, you know, to create different feelings, you know, different feelings. If you had a lot of bad relationships and produced some ugly feelings, we can go back in our mind and change how we felt about those things. This is where forgiveness comes in. You let those things go, but you replace them. Just pretend, you know, pretend you can redo things. You can, in your mind, you can actually produce anything you want to produce. You can produce your mother being loving, even though she might not have been. You can produce a healthy father, even though he abandoned you and didn't spend any time with you. You can produce healthy brothers and sisters, even though they kind of knocked you in the mouth or knocked you down the stairs a couple of times or threw you out in the snow. All kinds of things you can redo in your mind to create better feelings about them and better feelings within yourself. That's what I'm talking about, and that you can do. Absolutely. And when you do this, I'm telling you, you have a different life. You'll have a different life. It's time. Time. Okay? Now, let me go over the areas that we talked about with the past, I guess, 24 sessions on this, okay? And we looked at forgiveness. We looked at that. How we let go. Validation. Oh, absolutely. You have to feel that you are worth something, you know? Yeah. If your mother didn't validate you, if your father didn't validate you, you didn't get any validation from your teachers or your anybody, know that God validates you. God says he created you in the most excellent mold. Yes. Yes. And then when you feel validated, you can then go out and validate other people. And we should validate people all the time. Yeah. We should validate our wife. A wife should validate us. So it's very important to get that feeling of validation that your life matters to you. Yes. And a marriage matters to you. So we got to validate the marriage. Absolutely. Yes. Your marriage will be the example for others to follow. Everybody's trying to find a good example for a marriage partner, and you can do it by internalizing these attributes I'm talking about right now, these areas. After validation, what do we have? Self-esteem. Yes, it's important to feel good about yourself, to know that you can make a difference out here. Personally, you need to know that. And in marriage, you need to know that this marriage can make a difference out here. Absolutely. Yeah, so you and your wife can make a difference out here. Visualization is the next thing. How good are you at painting that picture of health and happiness? Yes, yes. You got to be able to paint that picture. And see, it's important to understand here, brothers and sisters, that once you develop your visualization skills, you will attract into your life a mate who does the same thing. Oh, yeah. And when both of y'all are visualizing a life together, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. I'm telling you. Yeah, for sure. Honor those dreams. After that, what do we have? Self-image. Self-image. We need to see ourselves being successful, having a fantastic, healthy, fun-filled marriage. Yes. To yourself as the husband that's producing and maintaining, the wife that's supporting and contributing, you know, contributing. Yes. And then you'll live that image that you have created for yourself. After that, what do we have? Communication and listening skills. Communication and listening skills. Absolutely. This is something else. You know, this by itself is the cause of a lot of divorces, lack of communication and listening skills. I talked about the 93/7 principle of communication. Y'all remember that? Where 93% of what gets internalized by the other person is your presentation, only 7% of your actual words. Did you hear that? 93% is your presentation, what you're producing. Nonverbal cues, your you know, all that. Yeah, yeah. And so, therefore, what you're saying doesn't mean that much. The whole idea is that to be congruent, that your words match your body language, your words match your presentation. Then that's where you find the truth. So communication and listening skills, how you listen, how do you listen? Paraphrasing all that, empathy, yeah. After that, what do we have? Optimism. Optimism. Understanding that the best possible is coming your way. That's what it means. The best possible is coming your way. You got to believe that Almighty God has created the best for you and just waiting for you to align yourself with the best that's already been created so you're going to enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah. Optimism. Why do all of us, why are so many of us so pessimistic? Got the what if kind of thing. Well, what if that happens? What if that happens? What if that happens? Suppose it doesn't work. Hey, stop it. Suppose it doesn't work. Suppose it does work. Have you looked at that part? Yeah. Optimistic. Be that way. What's after that? We have gratitude. We should live our lives in gratitude. I mentioned before on this program, Einstein was noted to say at least 100 gratitude statements a day. 100 gratitude statements a day. How many have you made today? Very important to understand this, I'm telling you. Now, let me give you a little test here, a little challenge. Next time you go to the doctor's office, somewhere where you're waiting a long time, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you go to the doctor's office, you're there all day long, you know. Yeah, well, one of those kind of things where you're waiting a long time. You might be taking your wife or husband someplace and you have to wait, okay? During those long waiting times, just number your gratitude statements. Sit down and start listing the things you're grateful for and number them. Say, well, one, I'm so glad I'm alive. Two, and my heart is still beating right now. Three, and this car started up. Four, boy, look at these trees out here. Just give me all the oxygen while I give them carbon dioxide. Five, you know, you start going through these things. See how many you come up to. Remember, Einstein did at least 100 gratitude statements a day. Okay? It's so important, gratitude. Yes, 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 yes. What's after that? We have faith. Faith. Feeling as if a thing already happened. Faith. You know, we have to understand there's a new reality, a different reality from the reality we see. A different reality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's not everything we're looking at. It's what's beyond that. Mm-hmm. And people who are religious, you know, have a lot of faith. And it's very important to keep this faith in mind all the time. You see, faith gives you the ability to believe in the impossible. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's very important. And when I use the word impossible, I'm talking about the invisible reality. Invisible reality. To those without faith, believing in invisible reality is believing in the impossible because see what you see, therefore it is impossible. Rationally it might be impossible and physically impossible, but it is entirely possible and probable to you because of your faith. Yeah, that's very important to understand that. You see? You know? See, you will now be able to see beyond what your physical eyes are making known to you. When your eyes give you death, destruction, and chaos, your internal eyes give you hope and promise. When your heart gives you broken promises and betrayal, your inner, internal heart gives you the promise of eternal love and satisfaction. When your sense of touch gives you abrasiveness and abuse, your internal touch give you comfort, warmth, and compassion. When your ears give you profanity and berating comments, oh man, berating comments, your internal ears give you esteem-building words, assuring you of your place on God's favored list. When your nose gives you the scent of filth and disease, your internal nose gives you the sweet smell of a divinely protected environment, which is life-producing, relaxing, and comforting. Yeah, 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 yeah. All this in faith, you know? Faith for sure. Yeah. And so this is what I'm talking about. Some people that, you know, that were talking about faith or in certain circles, you know, people call them crazy, you know? That, you know, people stay away from those folks. They don't know what you're talking about. You know, they see things all the time. Stay away from them. Who knows what got into them anyway? For people without faith, it is easy to understand these comments. Those with faith have the assurance that tells them everything is going to be all right. It might look gloomy today, but your promised tomorrow is bright and sunny. It might look like your finances are under par and you're going to experience material losses. Excuse me. But your faith in invisible reality says that you have financial gain on your path and accomplishments beyond your present comprehension. Yeah. See, when you have faith, you are in a state of awareness. This awareness acknowledges God being present inside and outside yourself. This state of awareness also tells you that you are on the path to receive rewards. This state of awareness also tells you that you are to align your life according to God's characteristics to receive more from Him. Characteristics such as love for all creation, compassion, empathy, honoring self and the divine spirit in others, limitless abilities, being powerful, self-sufficient, guiding and mentoring and modeling for others, being patient, source of peace, being equitable, just and fair, appreciative, generous, truthful, strong and dependable, protecting, giver and maintainer of life. Yeah. Yeah, like I was mentioning a little while ago, I said faith has been described as feel as if the thing has already happened. Faith is having such a firm picture of your desired reality in mind, you feel as if your vision has already happened. So there is no room for doubt. God has lifted the pen and the ink has dried. See, to the believer, the matter is a done deal. People that have subscribed themselves to a religious path and are truly believing practitioners of their faith know exactly what I'm referring to here. You have to really know that God has not forsaken you and that you deserve to have the vision you are internalizing. See, first, you have to remember that you have to deserve before you desire. Help me now. Just like marriages, you got to feel you deserve the best. You have to feel worthy enough inside and outside, for that's what deserving means. You have to have some issues with your self-worth not being what it should be. Then you have to first work on raising that up to your new desired standard. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody get a picture? Let me paint a picture a little clearer to you. There's an image I saw in one of the Indiana Jones movies, okay? In this movie, Indiana Jones went through trial after trial after trial after trial and near-death experiences, okay? Now, when he thought he was finished and came out of a cave, he saw nothing but darkness. He was told to go straight ahead, but he could see nothing through the fog and gloom. He finally came to an edge with no way across the deep divide. Down and saw nothing but a foggy abyss. He looked across the divide and saw another mountain edge, okay? His journey was to take him across to that side, but there was no way over the canyon. Then the guiding voice said to him, "Have faith. Step toward the edge and the bridge will appear. Proceed as if the bridge were there to secure your way. Why would the bridge appear if you didn't need it? Step out on faith, and your way will be made for you." He had to believe in invisible reality. His faith provided evidence of the unseen. He stepped out literally on faith, and then what happened? You know what happened. The bridge appeared, securing his way across the canyon. Yeah. This metaphor, you know, stays with me as I share this in classrooms and workshops. This is very important. You know, like I might remember Dr. Naeem Akbar, I quote him a lot. in my book. He says, the senses are the evidence of things seen. The senses give us information about those things that are here in this particular plane of reality. The senses represent a level of consciousness about concrete material reality. Reason, evidence of what can be, because it is through reason that creates the level of consciousness that lets us conceive and conceptualize. It is based on the appreciation of order, interconnection, and the analysis of things related to all other things by which we can begin to see beyond what is through reasoning. Dr. Naeem Akbar. You see? Yeah, faith is so important. You can't go into a happy marriage or maintain a marriage without faith. Can't do it. We depend too much on what our physical senses are telling us, are showing us. Can't do that. They only give us what we need to have in that particular instance. We can use reason, see, to explore possibilities in our lives. It is through this reasoning process that we begin to discover what faith can produce. Now, as we go further and further on this path, we start letting go of old thinking, old traditions that don't work anymore for us, old patterns of behavior and old associates. Remember I talked about that earlier? If it doesn't work for you now, let it go. We all have old mindsets that work for us. I guess it might not work for us then either. But we're on a new path now, a progress, okay, and production, and having the best, happy, connected, spiritually connected marriages possible. We've got to let them go. Yeah, on the reasoning path, our question we ask ourselves, why am I holding on to these beliefs about myself? Why am I holding on to these biases about people? Why am I thinking the way I do? Why am I holding on to the hate, resentment, and anger? Why am I fearful to look into my eyes in the mirror? A lot of us can't even do that. Isn't that something? Can't even look in your eyes for no limit of time in the mirror. Why do I dread another day? Why do I involve myself in religious traditions that no longer serve my highest good? Oof, that's a big one there. Huh? So I grew up in a synagogue, ashram, Christian church, and you're there as a child because you're made to go there, and you kind of internalize a lot of those ideologies. But when you grow up, a lot of those things don't work for you anymore. But you're still sitting on that bench, sitting on that pew. Why are you there? Why are you there? Another question. Why do I submit my whole self to my job? It is God. Why do I ignore the cries from my inner child? Why do I act against my child self like my parents did? Uh-oh. A lot of us are our own worst enemies. And we punish ourselves like our parents did, because you figure, well, I'm not worth anything. I'm not worth being treated well, so I'll just keep punishing myself. Why do you do that? You know? Yeah, yeah. Why do I see the risk and failures more than positive possibilities? Why? Very important to understand. Why am I leery to begin any new relationships? Now, see? You know, a lot of us have been married, got married when we were young, and just did not work out for us. Because we got hurt so bad, we're leery to start another one. Because you think that'll be a repeat of the last one. You know, it will if you have the same mindset. You see, your mindset creates the attractiveness to you. The magnetism to you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so with the same mindset, yeah, you'll attract the same kind of mate. But why have the same kind of mindset? Yeah. Next question. Why can't I trust and love others? Why do I surround myself with people who are not grounded in faith and not living a conscious life? Ask yourself that one. You want to live a conscious life. You want to have a conscious marriage. But you're not around anybody who does that. You're around adulterers, fornicators. People are talking for, profanity all the time. Looking at reality shows. Those are your friends. That's the circle you're in. Why are you there? Get out. Get out. See, we all have faith within us. And all we have to do to benefit from this faith is to first realize that this faith is given to us by God. Mm-hmm. And then ask for help in your excavation process as you dig deeper within. You've heard the saying, the kingdom of heaven lies within. Well, I don't know if you all remember the story, Acres of Diamonds. This is the first story I heard, first personal growth story I heard a long time ago that kind of sparked my interest in the whole personal growth field. Originally told by this guy named Earl Nightingale. I'll paraphrase a little bit, In a certain African country, there was a discovery of diamonds that sent many farmers on the search for their treasure. One farmer dreamed of his own search for diamonds, but was fearful in letting go of his property and responsibilities as he enviously watched the frenzy of diamond miners. A man approached his property, looked around a bit, and offered this farmer a sizable amount of money for his lot. Well, this is all the farmer wanted to hear. He gladly accepted, this first offer and took off on his financial pursuits, huh? This new owner took interest in some special rocks on the property. These rocks turned out to be diamonds in their raw state. And the new owner was literally standing on acres of diamonds. This new owner had the knowledge of diamonds in their raw state, where the original farmer did not. More of the story is clear. Have faith in what you have already been given. Instead of always thinking that your blessing is outside of yourself on someone else's property. You have acres and acres and acres of diamonds already divinely placed within you. You just have to be able to recognize your riches in their undeveloped state. Yeah, just as it takes pressure to produce the gem you see in the jewelry stores, it takes pressure from you to produce your treasures. This is where faith flowers. You know without doubt that you're going to receive great things and that you're on the path of progress and possibilities. You already have accepted the fact that you will have to apply the pressure of work, consistency, and healthy thinking habits to manifest your riches. Healthy thinking habits, okay? You see the end results first. Give thanks for it before you actually receive it. Claim victory now and celebrate your success. This is the picture of faith. Man, I hope you got this. You are the living faith. You see? Yeah. Most of us have experienced faith in action if we have lived long enough. Oh, yeah. For some, it might be going through a recovery process from an addiction or bad marriage. Yeah, I went through that. For some, it might be leaving or getting a job. For some, it might be finding that soulmate. Oh, yeah. And allowing yourself to be vulnerable, although you have been hurt often before. For some, it might be finally speaking up for yourself. For some, it might be following a natural health program that you have been fighting internally for years because you are afraid or unsure of the results. You might feel guilty going against some family eating traditions. Well, that's a good one. Yeah. For some, it might be receiving benefits of a new religious path. For some, it might be experiencing surgery where the doctor painted a negative picture and the results were in your favor. For some, it might be committing yourself to a higher college education. For some, it might be joining the Army with the positive benefits. You see, it is important to make action a dominant factor in this faith process. You cannot be satisfied with having all the faith you can imagine and afterwards do absolutely nothing to reinforce your newfound belief. You can't even hold on to your great faith image and possibility if you are doing nothing to make it a reality. The faith gives you the motivation to create the change you are seeking. Faith gives you the certainty that your reward from your honest efforts will be there waiting for you. Faith gives you the insight and the vision of the end result. Yeah, which is predicated on you doing the work necessary for its achievement. Yeah. Now, don't spin your wheels here. Make certain that your action is inspired action. And when you're spinning your wheels or trying to get your car out of the snow, you're in an action mode, right? You're in action mode. But this kind of action is not gaining you any traction. You see, the idea of simply working hard to make something happen is not necessarily the best way of realizing your... Now, since your desires are already in place for you, all that is necessary is for you to relax and go forward only with inspired action. Now, this, of course, takes faith that has to resonate within. Working smart defeats working hard every time. Oh, yeah. We see it all the time, don't we? Yeah. Now, sometimes your reward is received without physical labor on your part. But most of the time, the work is done intentionally. Remember, we can't count God out. You see, you know, that's where faith comes. You can't say, well, I did this, so I should get that from God. I did this, I should get that from God. No. Sometimes just laying in your bed, being grateful to God, you know, brings it on. It's something like a knock on your door, and all of a sudden there's your gift. There's your manifestation right at your doorstep. Yeah. So don't ever count God out. Don't ever say that you got to produce everything. No. You got to do your part. You see, sometimes just laying in bed, you know, giving thanks. Yeah. You know, so God does what God does. We can't regulate God's rewards based solely on what we are doing directly in those areas of interest, okay? For example, we have absolute faith that we are going to meet our mate, prosperity and life partner, yeah, despite our many failed relationships. Here we go. We know this because of our strong faith that God has us on his favored list and will reward us for our honest intentions and character. Our faith in God, along with our intention to always do what is right, will direct us toward the mate chosen for us. Intentions are already registered with God. Oh, yeah. So all we need to do is be consistent in our faith and deeds. God will do the rest. God will cover the how and when. Our part is the what and why. I'll say it again. God's part is the how and when. Our part is the what and why. What do you want? What do you really want? What kind of wife? What kind of husband do you really want? And why do you want it? If that's hard to answer, take time to write it down. Take time. Look, this is your life. Let me tell you, I've said this so many times on the show. People spend so much time in school. Become a doctor, lawyer, or engineer, or IT tech, you know, mechanic. A lot of time. How much conscious time do we spend on becoming the right kind of mate in a marriage? You see? So when I ask you to write down your what and why, some of y'all say, oh, that's a lot of work. Hey, do you want a happy union or not? Yeah, you see? You know, you can't predict when your rewards will reach you. Can't do that. Just because you are doing the work you think is needed. It all comes back to having faith first and foremost, which gives you the sense of knowing your reward has your name on it. Claim it. Claim it. Now, it is a challenge to talk about faith to someone who has never consciously experienced faith. Remember, consciously. It is sad to witness someone's life that is full of pessimism, doubt, fatalism, and thinks that faith-based people are not grounded in reality. Some of these people look down on church-going folks and religious people and religions in general with distaste. It is true that there are some religious folk that put themselves on pedestals and berate and belittle anyone who doesn't look like or behave or believe exactly as they do. We know that. And it is unfortunate that kind of mentality has soured many away from religion entirely. Yes, too bad. I tell people all the time that it is not the people, it is the path. Again, it is not the people. Man, you know what? Boy, you know, and, you know, I'm a Muslim. And when I see, you know, new people come in and they look at everybody and they get, you know, disenchanted. I said, is this the religion? I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't go by the people you see around you. This person, you know, talking righteousness here, you see him, you know, profanity in the parking lot, using profanity in the parking lot. You know? Yeah. Being hypocritical all the time. It's in all religions. Don't base religion on the people you see. No. The focus is not on what you see and observe. Your focus should remain on the path you have given yourself to, the invisible. Don't get sidetracked by the misguided. Putting all your hope and faith in people will always, always lead to your disappointment, guaranteed. People don't deserve all your faith. That level of faith should only be given to the one who created you. Everything you see and everything you don't see. That level of faith and allegiance is what creates cults and mind-controlling groups, and we see it all the time. Yes. We see it all the time, you know. So this is why, you know, you got to believe that you can do this. And watch out for that saying, just believe in yourself, you can do this. Whoa. Red light. What self are you talking about? Yeah. What self are you talking about? So you believe in your higher self. Oh, yeah. Now, I've always had a problem with that statement, believe in yourself. A prisoner doing time for bank robbery believes in himself and strengthens his belief so he can, in his mind, rob banks better than before when he gets out. He believes in the self that is a bank robber. A pimp tells his working girls to believe in themselves so they can do a good job and get more Johns than the next girl. The professional hitman has a strong belief in himself to carry out his contract successfully and avoid getting caught. An adulterous husband believes in himself as he juggles a double lifestyle between his wife and his girlfriends. If you want to be successful at anything, you need to believe in yourself, right? This is how you gain the mental fortitude to carry out your cause. So you see, we have to make a sharp distinction between believing in yourself and believing in your higher self. You see, we all have an inner higher self that is inherently good. That higher self wants that which is right, and that particular self working through your conscious produces good and bad feelings when you do certain things. See, I don't think anybody is bad at the core. No, I don't believe that. Used to, actually. No. When those who have been possessed have been invaded by whatever spirit there was, but the core was still intact, you know, we might not see it or know it, but when that spirit leaves the body, we then see the innocent core. Even when we never see the innocent core, we just have to have faith that it is there, down there somewhere, you know, very deep. Belief in our higher self is that innocent core self, the self that produces bad feelings when we do something that we shouldn't be doing or thinking. And the same self that produces good feelings when we do something and think about doing something that we'll be proud of later. The higher self only produces that which is life-giving, which is health-promoting, and that which is positively benefiting others. Some people call it the God self within. Yeah. A friend of mine, Jamal Rashid, you know, another personal growth person in our community, you know, he says, when our own emotional makeup follows the negative side of our influences, then we can expect to experience harsh realities. As a result of mental and emotional imprisonment, the misguided have detached themselves away from their strengths, which are located within the contents of their original nature that requires the growth and development of the human mind to produce and enhance wholesome and healthy individual, family, and community life to the fullest degree of our human potentials. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So I'm letting you know that we're trying to have the best marriages. There are some things you got to have, you know, have in place for sure, and faith is definitely one of them. Yeah, yeah. Now, looking at the list, you went through, you know, forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication, listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith. After faith is what? Spirituality. You know? Now, a lot of us don't understand that there's a difference between spirituality and religion. Yeah. Yeah. Spirituality is what is it? Your connectedness, your personal connectedness to God. You don't have to be around anybody to be spiritual. It's between you and Almighty God. You see? Yeah, for sure. Your own connectedness. Now, spirituality in all churches and religions, you know. However, a lot of times spirituality is not promoted or even taught about. You know, a lot of times religions have doctrine and dogma and traditions, and you think that's the religion. You see? Yeah, for sure. This is very important when you're looking at marriages, because if you have a spiritually connected marriage, nothing can come between that. You're all connected, I'm telling you. You know, when she starts a sentence, you might finish it for her, vice versa, because you're connected. So your minds are connected. You know, yeah, absolutely. That's really something. Yeah. So you wouldn't ever think about doing anything wrong to the other person, because the other person is you. You're one person. Yeah. God said he created us from the same entity. Yeah. And this is one problem that youth have. You know, this kind of spirituality is not taught. You see? Yeah. But it's important when you describe this kind of spirituality, that difference from religion, as most of us have been taught and experienced by the various churches, you know. Yeah. There's so many religious paths, and the right path is the one that is right for you. The choice is wholly yours, huh? Yeah, for sure. Now, many religions actually separate you from God. Isn't that something? Yeah. Many religions tell you that you cannot speak directly to God. You need to go through another source first. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You are told that there are earthly rules and traditions that must be adhered to, or you are made to feel guilty, sinful, and a candidate for hellfire. And hellfire is made so vivid with science fiction style horror that you are so full of fear, thinking that you will be burning soon for not living up to the dictates of the pastor. This is not the kind of spirituality I'm talking about, or kind of we should connect ourselves to. No. It's connectedness, you know, connectedness. Yeah. Dr. Dyer, you know, another personal growth expert, you know, various personal development experts in the field, and The Secret, you know, remember The Secret some time ago? Law of Attraction? Yeah. They say God is the source of everything. God is the source of energy. We are reflections of God. Yeah. So we should look at what God does and somehow mimic that in our lives. You know? Again, I'm talking about this because it's very important to understand this concept. And this will contribute greatly to your marriage, absolutely, greatly. People get married for the wrong reasons, you know? Get married for the wrong reasons. Get married because a certain pastor says y'all need to get married. Need to get married. See? And you're living in sin if you're just single. Some of y'all make, you know, or made it feel guilty that you're single. That you're afraid to even go to the religious community if you're single. Thinking that somebody's going to just talk about you badly, you know? Like, how dare you come in this place if you're single? Yeah, it's so unfair that our leaders are like that. You know, I went through that. Yeah, in my second marriage, I was like that. I didn't know. I was told to get married, so I got married. Wound that, you know, we didn't even like one another. We respected one another. It was like a round peg in a square hole, you know? And, you know, we're both, you know, believers, but the idea that we weren't compatible to one another. You see, so we didn't feel comfortable around one another. We didn't feel that. We didn't feel that. And this is why it's important. You know, you can't go by, you know, what somebody said that God says you need to do it for yourself. You know? I say, brother, you right there? You're single, sister, you're single? Both y'all believers? Y'all need to get married. Just like that. You know, some of us do that. You know, while just ruining our lives, just causing problems. It's, you know, y'all got nothing in common. Nothing in common. So it's very important that spiritual connection is so, so very important. So very important. So, like I was saying before, it's connectedness, you know? Yeah, you know? That's very important. Now, I'm talking about the whole idea, the images, because some people, you know, got that thing in their mind still, you know? Most religions say that you're the image of God. What does that mean? Look, we are to reflect God in our lives. When you have a mirror in front of you, what do you see in that mirror? It is your reflection, right? Isn't that our image? Doesn't that image belong to us? Isn't that image just a reflection of ourselves? The actual object we see is just a glass in a frame, right? It has no power whatsoever. It is just a created object designed to give us a reflection of ourselves. The mirror is not God. The mirror is not flesh and blood. The mirror is not a creator of any sort. See, with that in mind, we can now see ourselves in a clear perspective. We reflect God's way, attributes, characteristics, and spirit. And the more we consciously reflect God in this way, the more we naturally will be aligned with God. The more we are aligned with God, the more we will receive, because we will be in a perfect receiving mode. Okay? Perfect receiving mode. Yeah. We need to evolve ourselves from taking everything we hear to be so concrete and literal from the religious community. We should be reflecting God's attributes and characteristics. We have to keep in mind that, you know, God is in all of us, inside of us, outside of us. We have God residing right within. We don't have to travel to far off lands to talk to God. We don't have to go through rituals and traditions before we have access to God. We don't have to get permission first before God will listen to us from whatever religious authority we might respect. We don't have to go to any intermediary to get to God. Stop it. I heard one guy who's another professional growth expert. He says, how he traveled to the mountains of, I forgot now. India someplace, you know, and he spent a whole year finding God, getting in touch with God, a whole year. He finally found God up there on top of this mountain. Now he's got God within. You don't have to go through all that, okay? Don't have to do that. You know, God is right within all the time. It's always been there. Always been there. So I'm kind of relating these things to let you know that you and you alone are responsible for your connection to God. And the more you're connected to God, the better candidate you'll be for marriage. Oh, yeah. Our sisters love to get a spiritually connected man, and vice versa. Brothers love to get a spiritually connected woman. Yeah. Because when you know your mate is spiritually connected, you know they're not going to go crazy on you. Because they respect, honor, and conscious of God's presence in their life. They want to do everything to please God, everything to be okay in God's sight. Yeah. So then they're not going to do conscious crazy things, you know, rat and rave and throwing pots around the room and all that. They're not going to do that. A spiritually connected person will not do that. You see, that's why it's so important to be constantly connected to God. Okay? For sure. Very important. All right. Now, I'll tell you what. I was waiting for someone to push number one and ask a question. But I know, 99% of the time, people just like to listen. That's okay. And like I said at the beginning of the show, go into the archives, blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and slide down to where you see improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. And you see the various parts. This is part 24. I'm Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. You see? And I want everybody to get this book. I went through the chapters and the areas right now, a little while ago. And the whole idea is that we can remake our lives. And when we make our lives, then we can be in a position to remake the world. You can't give what you don't have. You see? You'll be the best marriage mate and best person to create changes in your environment. Absolutely. Very important to understand that. Okay? Also, some credits here. My show, The Reconnected Show, comes on every Saturday. 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona Time, 10 o'clock, I believe, Pacific Time. And since a lot of you like to call on the phone, just call. At that time, 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. One more time, 347-994-2524. Or if you want to listen online, same network, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, /reconnected. I'm a host on that show, and I have various growth leaders, thought leaders on my show, spiritually connected leaders on my show, as guests, and they're talking about what they do and have this wonderful contribution. Okay? Yeah, but I'm talking a lot on this show on Wednesday, so you get a chance to hear me on Wednesdays. You get a chance to hear my show, which I'm hosting on Saturdays. Okay? So you can catch me twice a week. I encourage you all to do this. My website, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. If you get this book through my website, I will actually autograph it for you and mail it myself. If you have ebooks like Kindle and Nook, you can get it that way too. Okay, Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. All right, very important to understand how you can get this material. And as y'all support me more, I can travel and spread this. I call reconnected messages to the world and make my contribution for changing the world. Because as we think differently, we act differently. Okay, and you have a wonderful, fantastic marriage and process. Loving, fun-loving wife and fun-loving husband. Have fun. Y'all should laugh and have fun and dance every single day. Be grateful to God that you have one another. Yeah, smile. And I want to see brothers and sisters. They post their marriage pictures on Facebook. And I see the wife frowning. Why are you doing it? If you're not happy, don't do it. Because guaranteed, you will have problems and have a short-term marriage. If you start a first day with a frown, my God, what's going to be the rest of your married life? I said, man, why are they doing it? Don't get married if you feel you're not ready. Stay single. Get healthy. Reconcile the past. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, love good thoughts. Love good everything around you. Then you attract the right mate into your life. Don't settle. Don't compromise. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, with that, we're going to kind of end the show. And next week will be part 25, and I want everybody to get it. And please, listen to the show, get the book, ask questions. Don't do anything rash. Don't get out there and get married all because someone says you got to get married. Wait until you're ready to do that, okay? Then do it, and then love the process. Love it. Love it. Be happy every day you're married. Love it, But be, like the Christians say, be equally yoked. Be with someone that it matches you where you are. You see? Yeah, for sure. Then God will give you everything you need to have for the complete fulfillment of your lives. All right? Because this is Nazim Abdul Rashid. I'll end it like I start with a greeting of peace. Only God can give with you. Greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.